time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I've got to tell you this. If you have tuned in today, you may be part of a cult. That's all I would say. Michelle just rolled out of bed. It's Thanksgiving morning. Everybody in America is sleeping in. Everybody. Except those who are stranded in the airports. They're not sleeping in. You know, this isn't Christmas morning where everybody gets up and opens up their presents and all the kids up and run around the house at 5 in the morning. Some of you, it is you're watching this at 5 a.m., what is Laura Ingram called? A healthy radio addiction. Well, I'm honored that you'd get here with us. Look, there's 32 of us at least in the queue right now. God bless you guys, you folks. Get up your daily dose of whatever it is that we're serving in here. And, man, just think about the word Thanksgiving. I was thinking about that. We've kind of made that word mean, haven't we? Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Now, luckily, we haven't lost the meaning of Thanksgiving the way we did with Christmas. Still allowed to wear, still allowed to wear pilgrim hats and somewhat put on Indian headdresses. Still allowed to do all that good stuff. I suppose it's because they love that whole idea of tolerance and diversity and inclusion, which is what they're making Thanksgiving all about. And the whole idea of Thanksgiving is supposed to be that we reflect. It's a good time to teach. See, a lot of people would say reflect back. You reflect or you look back. You don't reflect back. You don't, got it? So a lot of people, we want to use Thanksgiving to reflect on those who laid down their lives, the struggles that they went through. And I don't have to look any farther than Sky High in the Appalachian Mountains. Foothills of the Appalachian Mountains where we are, and to think about those guys over when they landed at Plymouth Rock or when they landed down at Captain John Smith landed down there in Virginia, and the monumental task of coming, first of all, just building a house, cutting down trees and building a house, just starting there, just that monumental task of doing that and figuring out how to live in this new world. And then actually getting in a wagon or whatever you got in or on a horse. Where'd they get the horses? And riding over the, can you imagine? You guys ever been out to, over in the Blue Ridge Mountains? You ever been down through there and seen how hard it is to get from the coast over those mountains and what that must have been like? And the Thanksgiving is, Thanksgiving is multifaceted in that certainly we're thankful to God for the blessings. That's the central focus. But it's very important that we continue to remind our children of others who sacrificed that we might, as Abraham Lincoln, that those who died here, we humbly resolve those who died here have not died in vain. The government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. That's the message. Yes, thank God for it. But look, I said to Michelle this morning, she worked all day yesterday. You guys know my wife, man. She worked all day yesterday getting ready for the family gathering here. Now, I'm the second youngest of five children. And one of them is in Azerbaijan, so he's not around. His family aren't around. But four of us are here. And every year, I don't know how or don't know why, Thanksgiving is kind of held. My wife kind of does it. My wife kind of, she invites everybody and they come. Or they're welcome to come. And I gave her a big hug this morning. I said, you know what, Michelle? Because I think when I grew up, bear with me a second, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was really big in my life when I grew up because my mom had a large extended family. So did my dad, but we fellowshiped more with my mom on her side. They were closer, I guess. It was my luncheons on my dad's side. We would get together, but not the same way. I knew all my cousins, grew up with all my cousins, and we would get together and we'd have our Thanksgiving thing. We'd go rabbit hunting in the morning, and then we'd get together, and the entire family, we'd eat a big dinner, turkey dinner, some rabbit. Maybe we'd killed some rabbits. We'd eat that. And that all, we did all of that until my grandmother died, and then it kind of began to fade away, and now I don't even know most of those people anymore. But I think about Aunt Nell and my Aunt Nell, of the parties that we would have at her house. And I told my wife, I hugged my wife today, said, honey, you don't realize this, all this hard work and all the stuff that you're doing, 30 years from now, our grandchildren are going to be talking about Gigi. You guys remember how Gigi used to, remember when we used to go to Gigi's house? I said, you're leaving a legacy right here. It's hard work. Leaving a legacy is hard work. And your honor and your respect from your family is not going to come till you and I are far gone. Well, then, come on now. Your kids appreciate you now? Did you appreciate your parents when they were here? No. No, there's not a day goes by that I don't wish I could get up in the morning and make a phone call and thank my dad for everything he did for me. I didn't appreciate it. I didn't appreciate it. He was just dad, and he was, you know, dinner at your house tonight, dad. Okay, and just we took it for granted. And sadly, I see it in my own kids now. They're taking me. They're taking Gigi for granted. That's just what Gigi does. Well, it is. That is what she does, and she does love doing it. But you don't have any idea how stress and strain it is. But that will be her legacy. And sadly, in the world in which we live today, family is no longer a legacy. Family, do you guys get together with all your family? See, should there be anything more important? And I would say this to my brother who's in Azerbaijan or anybody who's anyplace else. You ought to purposely make it a point to gather with your extended family on Thanksgiving. You ought to make it a point. Because I had a cousin, second cousin, who died a month ago, maybe now. Lived out in California. And I saw his obituary. He was 58. I said, what? He was 58? I remember when he was 10. He can't be 58. But it happens, doesn't it? Life is a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. So in this time of Thanksgiving, getting together here, certainly keep Christ in the center of Thanksgiving. But don't ever forget this, that the memories that you're going to leave, the memories you're going to leave on Thanksgiving, folks, better understand this, is going to revolve around family. So Joseph and Mark and Bob and Tammy and Richard Rapp and Steve and all those people who've come and have helped us up at Sky High, I'm taking all my family up there today, Mark, and I'm taking them for a hayride. I got a big wagon, and Mark gave me a little tractor, and I'm taking them all up there, and we're going for a hayride. And I'm gonna drive them down. I don't have any hay bales. We'll figure it out. Put all those grandkids on there, and I want them to always think back of them and that time together with whoever. As I tell my grandkid, I said, listen, they have a different name because their daddy has a different last name. I said, don't ever forget this. This is the Dobbenmeyer legacy. The Dobbenmeyer legacy. I tell my grandkids. And they look at me. I said, now listen. No. It's the David Dobbenmeyer legacy. This is not the Bill Dobbenmeyer legacy. This is not the Dan. This is not the Joe. This is the David Dobbenmeyer legacy. And you are part of it. You fall in that legacy. This, folks, we have got to build these type of traditions deep inside our children. We have to do that. Our grandchildren. You can't just look beyond your grandchildren. You are the matriarch. You are the patriarch. You are the one. You are the one. I was thinking, I'm sorry, kind of stream of consciousness here today. I was thinking, God, I had one on one side and one on the other side, and we were reading a book, and a little one, she can't even walk, and she was standing up. She was looking up at me, and I'm sitting there like thinking, man, oh, man, these kids will miss me so bad when I'm gone. I hope. They don't have any idea what a treasure Grampy is to them and Gigi. They don't have any idea. They're drawn to it, but they don't know. they don't understand. And I would just encourage all grandparents in particular out there, man, build into those little ones, because they're the ones who are going to remember. They're going to remember. Your kids, yeah, not so much. Not so much. Your grandkids, they'll never forget it. They'll never forget it. And every time I get little Reese, we were up on the tractor the other day, I said, Reese, whose legacy is this? And she said, the David Dobenmeyer family. So, yep, that's it. Let's build on this. Let's build a legacy. Let's be this. Let's let this place that we're standing right here at Sky High, let's let this be a beacon to the Lord from the David Dobenmeyer family. And you'll be you're the princess of Sky High. And David, you're the prince of Sky High. And let's build this thing and glorify Jesus out of it. And let's never forget that it was your grampy, that the Lord trusted this into the hands of your grampy. Let's never forget it, because you're going to have to tell your children and your grandchildren. And years from now, they won't even appreciate Sky High because they weren't here to see what happened at the beginning. So it's your duty to pass that tradition on to your kids. Are you with me out there, folks? You get what's going on? We've lost the legacies in our homes. We've lost them in our homes. No wonder we've lost them in our families. No wonder we've lost them in our communities. No wonder our schools are so splintered. No wonder there's so much confusion about what's going on. No wonder we fall into such denominationalism and separation and division. No. So we have to actively work to bring our family together. We have to actively work. And I'm going to tell you this. You don't have to be an idiot about it, but you better go where a lot of them don't want you to go. I know this. My own family, some of them, even though Michelle and I do not cram it down their throat, you guys know what it means to be convicted? You guys know what that means? And sometimes they want to come, but they don't want to come because they feel convicted. They feel convicted. So I'm not going to miss the opportunity to rub in that conviction a little bit more. Gather them all together. Get all the family around. Let me tell them about what happened at Sky High, about the pyramid, about the giants, and why here, why now? What an opportunity. So make a mark today at your family gathering. Make a mark. It's important. I don't know where that came from, but it's out of me.
Coach, yep. A good place to do that when you say the grace. Now, everybody wants to somebody say the grace at Thanksgiving. I'll say it. Get in there and pray it, and just pray a few things in there that they wouldn't want to hear, maybe, but just stick them in there. It's a good place for it.
You've been peeking in my windows, Randy. You've been peeking in my windows. That's what we do. That's what we do, right? Because, you know, listen, the hardest ones to bring the truth to is your family. Once you alienate a family member, it's awfully hard to get them to bring them back, man. It's awfully hard, especially because they know you, right? A family knows me. So, yeah. We used to smoke cigarettes together. I know we did. Yeah, we used to get drunk together. Yeah, I know. I don't do that anymore. Right? So it's hard. Oh, there's preacher man. That's what my one brother loves to call me. There's a preacher man. Now, I think he's glad that I'm the preacher man. He doesn't have any idea what it means. So do I stop being the preacher man because he's giving me a shot across the bow, making sure that I don't preach? That's really what he's wanting. Well, he hopes I don't do, right? And want me to preach. So... Oh, Lord, Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem, Judea, then the uttermost parts of the world. You got to talk to your family. Jesus said that's where the great division would be, right? Father against the daughter and husband, mother against son, and enemies would be those of your own household. And I don't make any enemies. But my loyalty, my fealty is to Christ. And I see what's going on all around me. And I would tell you this, that folks, listen to me. Almost all the destruction that we see of the family, everywhere we look, not just the family, the schools, everywhere you look, all of it is because of a destruction of Christianity, every bit of it. Christianity has not caused our problems. The escape from Christianity has. And the whole idea of Christianity was what? Huh? What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And that's all removed. What's removed? Righteousness is removed. Peace and joy. People don't have peace and joy. Why don't they have peace and joy? Because there's no righteousness, no right standing with God. And all the things that we see going on and all the messes that are being made in our culture and our society is because there's no righteousness, there's no peace, and there's no joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's what we have to try to do. I don't know the answer. I'll get moving on. Anybody want to jump in here on Thanksgiving morning, piggyback or kick me off? God, I got 40 of you in here today. God bless y'all. 39, I'm lying. More listening. Hey, listen, sorry about, we've had some techno difficulties in the last week. Jared, good. Let me segue into this pretty good. I don't know if you guys happened to see Steve Quayle. I'm sure you did on Hagman the other night. Be worth a look if you go back. See Steve Quayle and the other guy's name slips my mind. Doesn't matter. You folks censoring, banning, shadow banning, whatever you want to, deplatforming is Gary Quayle. Thanks, Linda. Is right at our door on December 10th. That's what, 2 weeks? December 10th, YouTube has already sent out notice that they're going to begin to, excuse me, cut off access to YouTube at random to whomever they so decide. They've already sent out fair warnings to us. I expect on December 10th that we'll no longer have a presence on YouTube. It's that serious. Really, really believe that. And if you listen to Steve Quayle the other night, and if you listen to Doug Hagman, and you listen to anybody that you're listening to, they're all telling you the same thing, that they are building their own platform because they do not expect to be able to be seen where they're currently being seen. Are you watching them on Facebook? You watch me on Facebook? You watching the show on YouTube? Where are you watching the show? Because they're pretty good that maybe on December 10th, you're not going to be able to do it anymore. They're not going to give us access anymore. Probably. Well, it's all part of the. I got so much of me. So I want to say this because this is a real pull on the hat to Jared, our webmaster, producer, whatever you want to call him. About 6 or 7 months ago, maybe it is even longer than that, says, Coach, listen, I'm building our own platform. I didn't even know what he meant. What do you mean, Jared? He said, well, we are bringing everything that you produce. We're bringing it onto our own server, our own platform. See, there was a time I've written hundreds and maybe thousands of articles and commentaries and things that I've done that are out there on the internet. They're on Facebook and YouTube. They're all these kind of stuff. And if Facebook pulls me down, you never see him again. If YouTube pulls them down, you never see him again. I'll never have access to them. All those writings I did at News with Views, they'll all disappear. They would all disappear. I wouldn't have access to them because it's all placed on their platform, right? So Jared was smart enough to about however long it was, said, Coach, we're building a platform so that all of your stuff will be housed safely. It's like taking your money out of the bank. See, you all have access to your bank, right? You can go get money out of the bank unless the bank closes. And if the bank closes, you don't have access to anything. You've always had bank. I've always had credit cards and been able to write checks and pull money. No more. Well, you're deplatformed. No more access to your bank. That's exactly what's going on with technology. See, and so even though I have some commentaries placed on in this bank, and I got some videos placed in this bank, and I've got this stuff placed on YouTube. When YouTube says banks closed, Coach, they keep all my stuff. So Jared got ahead of it. Gary got ahead of it. Gary began to pull down and copy every video that we had on YouTube. Jared began to pull down every commentary I'd ever written on News with You, wherever it was. They pulled down every bit of content that they could find that we had produced, and they put it on their own server. We have our own stuff. When YouTube pulls me down December 10th, there'll be one place and one place only to see us, and that will be CoachDaveLive.com. Why? Because we became our own bank. All of our stuff's here. Well, now you're seeing more and more people are talking about it. Steve Quayle's talking about it. Doug Hagman's talking about it. They use the term platform, building our own platform. No, they're building their own bank. They're bringing all of their money out of everything else, and they're bringing it home, and they're putting it in their own safe. Jared was smart enough to do that for us. Folks, that is why we're asking you to donate to Coach Dave Live. We've got put a lot of expenses into forming our own bank and bringing all of our stuff. It's cost us to do that. It will cost us in the future. And I'm just telling you right now, if you think you're going to be able to go click on YouTube and find us, you're not going to be able to. We're not going to be there. They're going to shut us down. Facebook's going to do the same thing. So we built a new platform. We have our own bank now, and you can come and you can. Come on, that's not that hard to ask. Will you help us out? I don't want to have to start charging people. Just support us. Just give us some monthly money and support us so we can continue to do this. This isn't free, and it becomes more expensive now because of what I just told you. Cool. Okay. Some people think I'm not going to be forced to watch. I'm not forced to watch. Oh,
Lord. Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I want to make a comment. I've never been a quote tither. I've been a giver. I give. I don't figure 10%. I figure I give. And if I add it all up at the end of the month, I might have gave 20%. I'm not under that law. I'm under the grace. I'm under God's provision.
Amen. And
Coach, this is great ministry. I mean, I've been in this thing for a long time. And this is producing. Put your money in something that will produce.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Coach, you produce. I mean, and the men in here and the people in here produce. So why would we want to put our money in something else when it doesn't produce? So I just want to say that.
Randy, thanks, Randy. I don't want to get too deep in. Thanksgiving. Hey, Jared, pull my newsletter up. I wrote something on my newsletter. Today, get my monthly newsletter today, and there's a segment in there I mail this out to the people. That's how Pass the Salt operates. Donations. So you know you can go check 990s. We have to do these tax forms every year. Go check our 990. I make $3,000 a month. I make $3,000 a month from Pass the Salt Ministries, whether we bring in. But no matter what we bring in, I don't get more. My salary set. So $36,000 a year. So if you think that I'm making money off of it, I just want you to be at peace that you're not going to. You can go anywhere and check 990s. That stuff's easy to do. We live off, like I said in my newsletter, we're a ministry. We're not a church. There's no tithing going on here, right? You guys pull your money back, you pull your money back. That's what it is. But I want you to see my newsletter because there's a couple things. Do you have it up there, Jared? I'm sorry. I get rattling here. I'm sorry. Bear with me a second. I got some good stuff here. I want you guys, this was so important as the Holy Spirit wrote this to me. This is the front page of my newsletter that's going to go out. By the way, if you're not getting this, email me. Say, Coach, love to get it. It's just a short little newsletter I send out once a month. And I said, look, the left and liberalism are not the same thing. Folks, this is what we're fighting. Stay with me here a second. Liberalism garners its name from the word liberty. See, liberals, when someone's a liberal, someone who was a liberal believed originally, your father's liberal believed in individual liberty, freedom. A real liberal was someone who wanted less government intervention. A conservative was one who wanted just enough government to maintain the status quo. Conservative, not much change, all right? And liberal used to mean independent freedom. The government shouldn't be telling us what to do. And so the battle between liberalism and conservative, it was there, but it wasn't like it is today. Why? Because liberalism is not the same as it used to be. Stay with me here a minute. Let me start again. Liberal garners its name from the word liberty. This was meant to imply the idea that a liberal was for less government intervention into the lives of individuals. That was liberalism. Liberals, think about this now, used to be for free speech. Liberals used to be, who's trying to shut down Facebook now? Who's trying to shut down YouTube? Who's trying to shadow ban? Is it conservatives? No, it's not conservatives. And we say it's liberals. But no, folks, it isn't liberals. Liberals are still on our side. Liberals used to be for free speech and individual liberties. A liberal believed in more freedom of expression, not less. The Beatles were liberals. They wanted to shake the status quo. They wanted more liberty. Listen, ungodliness, okay? That's really the heart of liberalism. Less God, no doubt about it. But they were doing it because they said true liberty was being free from the restraints of God and all those other things, right? So it came out as liberalism, but here's what happened, see? Today's left, I'm reading from my newsletter, is not liberalism. It's socialism. But look at Nancy Pelosi and what's that guy's name? Schiff. Folks, they're not liberals. They're leftists. It's not the same thing. The left, the communist left, has come in and stolen liberalism. They've stolen liberalism. The leftists today believe in more government control and less rights for the individual. Just think about it a minute now. Think about what we are calling all those liberals. No, they're not liberals. They're the left. They're the left. The communist, socialist left have captured liberalism. It's the left that is for the censoring of free speech and for larger government control of every aspect of our lives. That's the left. That's the godless left. Liberals used to say, you remember this, don't you? I don't agree with what you say, but I will fight for your right to say it. Are they saying that today? No, they're banning it. They're banning free speech, folks. The liberals aren't liberals, they're leftists, they're socialists, they're communists, they're whatever, they're censors, throw whatever word you want on there. See, today's leftists, not liberals, are fighting to block free speech. They're banning us from Facebook and YouTube, right? Why? Because they do not want the voice of God to be freely spoken. The left promotes censorship of any idea they do not agree with. So the battle is over truth. My friends, the truth is not a left-wing value. This is so critical. Listen to me. Listen to me. Those on the left are not interested in truth. They don't care about it. They don't care whether something's true or not. They don't care. What's that old saying? The ends justify the means. And so the left will tell lies. Well, let me read down through it. The battle cry today is the ends justify the means. For instance, the left doesn't care if allegations against Judge Kavanaugh were true. They couldn't care less if those women were telling the truth. They didn't care. They just didn't want him on the court. They couldn't. They lied about anything. Why? Because truth is not a value to them. They don't value truth. They don't care about truth. They don't care if President Trump did a quid pro quo. They don't care about that. They just don't want him to be president anymore. So therefore, because they don't want him, the end justifies the truth. The end justifies the means. Just because they don't want him to be president of the United States, they don't care if they lie. They don't care. It's not a value to them. Truth is not a value. And you think about everything on the left, what are you seeing? It's all lies. It's all lies. They don't care if a baby's alive in the womb. They don't care. They simply want to be able to kill it. They don't care if homosexuals are born that way. They just want to be able to do it. Truth doesn't matter. Results are how success is measured. The battles over truth. And friends, truth has fallen in the streets. This is my monthly newsletter going out today. Tomorrow, actually. We must take the truth outside the four walls of the church. Everywhere we look in today's societies, lies are ruling the day. Folks, transgenderism is not normal. It's not normal, folks. Global warming is not proven. Man-made global warming, I should have said. White conservatives are not racist. Isaiah warns us that we are in the most danger when truth falls in the streets. The streets represent the culture, the place where each of us live our lives. As the gospel is doomed to failure if we do not once again reclaim truth as the foundation. I should have said pavement. The pavement of all American society. Truth cannot get up if the Christians stay sequestered inside the four walls of the church building. Truth has fallen in the streets because Christians have abandoned society. Take that deeply. And if you don't understand this aspect of it, that the left is not liberalism anymore. No. It's more than just women's liberation and feminine. No. The left is not interested in truth. They're anti-Christ. See, the left is the anti-Christ spirit. Okay? It is. And so then I went on to say this last thing. So Past Assault Ministries was officially formed in January 2003. Did you know that? Golly. We spent the entire 21st century doing everything we can to restore righteousness and the rule of Christ in the streets of America. That's what we do here. Truth must be established in the hearts of men before it will ever show up in society. And although our battle is not against flesh and blood, the battle does rage in the natural world. How are they, folks, how are they poisoning the minds of your kids? It's a spiritual battle, but where are they doing it? They're doing it in the natural world. So the battleground of the mind, it's over our thoughts. Truth doesn't matter. You have your truth and I have my truth, Oprah tells us, right? Because of your support, we've literally carried our message from coast to coast and are daily impacting the hearts of men to rise up and serve the King of Kings. We're not a church, we're a ministry. That God's risen up to reestablish the old ways and to make straight the paths that have been covered over. We don't have a congregation. We depend on you and your faithful support. We don't have advertisers. I'm not selling Jock Itch. I'm not selling any of that stuff. It's because of your faithful support. That's it. You keep us on the front lines. You keep the show operating. Our work is more needed now than when we first began. We have a busy 2020 planned. It will be the most important year in the history of our ministry.
Amen, Coach.
That's where we are. We're worthy of your support. And I don't want to nickel and dime you and come on here all the time and beg for you to give money to us. If you think we're valuable, support us. If you don't think we're valuable, then quit being on welfare. And quit coming here and eating free if you don't think we're valuable. Well said, okay, I'm making anybody mad. It's just a dang-on truth. I don't want to talk about this anymore. We're going away. We're not going to be on YouTube. We're not going to be on Facebook. We're not going to be on, what's that other one called? Periscope. Folks, listen. We're not going to be there. If you listen to Doug Bedman and you listen to Steve Quayle, if you listen to the other night, they're telling you it's already happening. You ain't going to be there, baby. You ain't going to be there because why? Truth is not a left-wing value. And the last thing, the only way the left wins is if they prevent the truth from getting out. That's the only way they win. That's the devil. The left is the devil. He's anti-truth, anti-Christ. That battle's already raging. I didn't even mean to get into all this. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, Coach, I think you hit the nail on the head. They're leftist. They left God. They left sanity, and they left ethics.
That's right. That's right. But see, they taught us. They are aggressively trying to destroy everything Christian. Huh? And what are we doing? We are dumb enough to think that we can coexist. The scripture is very clear. Can two walk together unless they agree? Can we live in a nation where there are people who believe that Sharia law should be the law of the land? And those who, somebody said to me yesterday, I thought this is really, really good. What's happening is one third of the people hate another one third of the people. And that's going to break out into some type of skirmish here at some point. And then one third of the people don't care what happens. That's where we are. And we've been taught and we've been conditioned by our churches that we can somehow hold hands and walk down the street with Muslims. Boys and girls, not a real Muslim. A real Christian and a real Muslim cannot walk hand in hand. I'm sorry. Listen, a real Christian and a practicing homosexual cannot walk hand in hand. They cannot walk hand in hand, especially into a church. Folks, you can't, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so we're going to have to wake up and say, yeah, coach, you're right. We're going to fight for our values because it is the firm foundation upon which our society is going to be built. Or we're going to try to come up with some mixture of gravel and put them together and see if somehow we can stand on the sinking sand of multiculturalism and diversity. And the crazy thing we're seeing, which we talked about yesterday, the church believes that multiculturalism is strength.
Hey, coach.
Exclusive. We're exclusive. Christianity is exclusive. Broad, narrow, many, few. Not everybody finds it.
Coach, yeah, what a mic drop. You said they can't walk together, especially into a church. Now, they can walk together into a satanic social club, and they will be made to be feel like they're magnificent people. But into a church, you don't bring the ungodly. You do not bring those who are not your brothers and sisters. You do not assemble as a church with those who are not part of the church, because then you're going cross purposes to why you assemble. You assemble to be trained to do the work of the ministry.
Larry, well said, Larry. Can folks, I'm just, boy, here comes Right Wing Watch on Thanksgiving. You ready? Muslims should not be able to openly practice Islam in American schools. Islam and Christianity are not compatible.
Amen.
The leftists will tell us this, see. The leftists will say, oh, look at that. Oh, that's such tolerance and that's such diversity. Oh, that's our strength. No, folks, it is not our strength. It is not our strength, because in order for those two at some point to be able to get to go along, somebody's going to have to compromise. Somebody's going to have to water down what they believe in order to let the other to become acceptable. When the Muslims come into our school and they want halal foods, huh? Somebody's going to have to compromise. When the Muslims come into our school and they want to have Sharia law or whatever they want to do, when they bring it into our school, somebody's going to have to compromise. And I'm telling you right now, I know who it's going to be. I know who it's going to be because I see history. And they tell us that the greatest thing we can do, Christians, is to be tolerant and accepting and show the love of Jesus. Yes or no? This is the battle before us, friends. You can get mad. You can call me names. You can say whatever you want to. Call me a bigot. Call me hateful. Call me a homophobe. Call me whatever. I'm just telling you this, man. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. That's right from the Word of God. Now, you believe... Folks, those of you who send your kids into multicultural schools, do you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and that no man comes to the Father except through Jesus? Do you believe that? And if you believe that, then would you tell me why you would even put your children around someone who worships another God? Why would you expose your children to that? Oh, I know why. Because multiculturalism, tolerance, diversity weakens Christianity. That's it in a nutshell. And like Scott Lively said yesterday on Mike's show, Chick-fil-A is the evangelical church. We'll compromise so we can all just get along. We won't call out your sin. We won't say this is right. We won't say that's wrong. We'll just serve good pieces of chicken and everybody can come and eat it. Do you know that, Dan, Kathy, do you know that Chick-fil-A gave to the Southern Poverty Law $2,500, Southern Poverty Law Center? So Chick-fil-A can give money to the most anti-Christian organization of America and give to the Boy Scouts too or something else. It's okay. They just give it to everybody. That's the foolishness of the evangelical church. I've talked for 39 minutes. Happy Thanksgiving. Somebody else come on in here. Bobby Lee, hang on one more thing. I looked at my notes. Bobby Lee, I'm still going to try to get down there with you, Bobby. If any of you are near Louisville, go to the death pit there in Louisville on Saturdays. I'll let you know, Bobby. Still trying to get there. And thank God for Steve Deck, who was in the hospital yesterday for some AFib. Steve's home now. He's a great supporter, great friend, and happy for that. And thanks, Steve. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Was that Randy coming in?
Yeah, I was just going to say this, Coach. You show me where some. Tell you where they're where their loyalty and their heart is. That's where what's where it's at.
That's right. That's right. It's true of all of us, right? It's true of all of us. And so, hey, folks, come on. Michelle and I pay bills. We get it. We get it how tight money is. We get it. We get it. But, hey, I think this show is pretty valuable. You can go to my 990. You go to our 990. You see how much money I make. So if this month $5,000 comes in, I don't get more of it. It doesn't come to me. I'm set with what I make. We give and we support others and we do this. And we're not going broke. But life would be a lot easier. We could expand more if somebody would just simply tip us every once in a while. Maybe it'd be a good way of saying it. Somebody else, come on in there. I got some good stuff. Oh, I got some more good stuff I want to get in.
I was just wondering, Coach, how much money people pay on their cable bill. Real ministry that's promoting truth and Christianity.
Yeah. Well, you know why? They pay their cable bill because they have to. But if I try to say, hey, sorry, you're going to have to pay to get in here. Oh, no, you're a Christian ministry charging for the gospel. Well, you're the leech. You're sucking it up every day and not giving a dime to it. Who's the real leech here? Sorry if I made you mad. Just telling you the truth. Help us. Just help us have more and more impact. Somebody got something to say, or I'll jump into something else. I got some good stuff here. Go ahead.
Coach, I just wanted to give a little testimony this morning. Thanksgiving hallelujah. With the car lot for almost 2 years, year and a half. So I don't know what it is. But I mean, this woman's angry at God. Hateful. Just son dying, brother had his skull crushed in California. She moved here. She landed at my car lot, asked, can you guys have a truck and go get my donated furniture? I didn't even know this woman. And she was off the hook. Craziness. You know what I mean? Over the time, I found out that she's mad at God. When I met her, she told me, she said, I'm going to tell you right now. She's seen the Bible on my desk. She said, I'm not going to lie to you. When I moved here, I went to a dumpster and I threw my Bible in the dumpster and I cussed God out. I flipped him off. And this woman's been nuts for a while now, just mad. Been to a few churches. She's told me all these things. I've talked to her many a times. She walks in Tuesday night. Looks at me and she said, we doing church in the garage here tonight? I seen your sign. I looked at her, she's all glowing and smiling. She said, I got some good news for you. I said, what's that? She said, I am no longer mad at God. I'm talking to God. I've even moved my Bible off a place where it's been for years and I'm going to start reading. And she was just glowing. I said, look at her. I said, hallelujah. I give her a big hug. I said, I knew you would get it figured out someday. I am so glad for you. And I said, now you've got joy. Oh, she's just beaming. She's out trying to find some places to volunteer. And she said, I will be here next Tuesday night for the church in the garage. So that was great. You know what I mean?
Amen. Amen. So listen, if you're going to choose somebody to be mad at, God wouldn't be a good one. That wouldn't be a good one to be mad at. I don't think that'd be good one to be. Good time. Hey, Robert, how about November 28th? Is that where we are, November 28th? Yeah, 2 days past my birthday already. 2 days past my birthday.
Yeah, that's where we are. I was just thinking about church in the garage. Go to the church in the garage and get spiritual tune-up.
First of all, here's what Jeff, I'm not making fun of you, Jeff. I ain't calling it church. When I start one locally, I ain't calling it church. I don't know what I'm going to call. But that we got to do away with that word. That's for sure.
We meet, Coach. We meet and we assemble. We are the church.
That's Amen. Right.
Amen. Yeah. Well, what I did was, too, is a lot of people say, you talk to them like, oh, I ain't going to no church. I ain't going to no church. And then, like, the one kid I met there on the streets, he said, I want to be a mechanic someday. I said, come down that old greasy garage with the transmissions laying around and stuff. Come on down there and hang out with us. And he said, I will do that.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, go ahead, Randy. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robert. I'm reading something.
Okay, November 28th, a quote from Paul Washer. Now, Paul Washer, he's like a Calvinist, but at the same time, he's preaching holiness, and he's never invited back to preach. So that tells you something about him. So I'll quote Paul Washer. He says, you may say God doesn't hate anybody. God is love. No, my friend, you need to understand something. Jesus Christ taught, the prophets taught, the apostles taught this, that apart from the grace of God revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord, the only thing left for you is the wrath, the fierce anger of God because of your rebellion and your sin.
So if you're not under the blood of Jesus, you're under wrath. That's John 3, isn't it? The wrath of God abides on you, right?
That's right.
It ain't a love message. I mean, it isn't just a love message. Go ahead, Robert. I'm sorry.
It's not politically correct, but spiritually correct.
Amen. Amen.
Believers who are not progressing in sanctification as commanded in Scripture are at the risk of falling away when God's great shaking increases in intensity. And we see it today, great shaking. Their religious fig leaves will blow away and their spiritual nakedness will be exposed, as Jesus warned of in Revelation 3:17. And their constant diet of pastoral pastries and polluted waters will not sustain them during the tough times ahead. Only those who are nourished on sound doctrine and filled with Holy Spirit will have the faith to overcome and the power to endure. But the good news is God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Not only the rebellious dwell in the parched land. That's right from the scripture.
Yes, sir.
True spiritual prosperity, even in times of cultural spiritual drought, comes to those citizens of heaven who view themselves as aliens and strangers to this evil world. They're not willing to be conformed to this world. Through obedience to the Lord, they drink from the well of living water. And then are filled with the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.
Amen. He doesn't give the Holy Spirit to everybody, but rather only to those who obey him. Only to those who obey him. I've been thinking about death a lot. Not that I'm planning on dying here. But I jokingly tell everybody now I'm 13 years from 80. 80 seems like an old guy. I've been thinking as I look at my own grandkids around me sitting on my knee and how I, like I started out, I understand my importance to their life. They don't know it yet. My children don't understand the importance of Michelle and I in the lives of their children. Not really. They appreciate it, but they don't really, really understand it. And I was thinking about my own dad, and dad's been dead since 2004. I think dad passed. And, you know, father of five guys and five children and out working at Kaiser Aluminum, being a factory worker and working double shifts to provide and put all of us through school and all those great things. He'd try to be a little league coach and all that stuff. And realizing the whole time, all of us, we're so busy living our own lives that we don't realize that we're living our own lives, that our own lives really, really are passing before us. And I can remember my father-in-law would often say something about my children, Michelle and I, our children. He'd say, well, man, I sure wish I could be here 25 years from now and see what becomes of their lives. And I would kind of brush it off. And now I'm sitting there thinking, boy, Charlie, I get what you're saying, right? I get what you're saying. And so then I immediately reflect back. See, I didn't just see if you're listening. Then immediately I reflect, think about my dad, and wonder, as I was living my life, what my dad was living his. He was living his life. I wonder what he was thinking when he went through this, and he went through this, and this happened to his kids, and this happened to his kids. And when we had a family accident, my brother lost his arm. My brother, 7 months old, lost his arm, went through his whole life with only one arm. What that would be like, raising a child that was handicapped back then when nobody talked about handicapped kids. It wasn't anything special about him. And Dan with one arm and, you know, the struggles he went through and just, you know, living life, right? And me not really ever getting to know him. I never really got to know him. Never did. And then now I look and say, my God, I'm 67. I'm 67. And, you know, I look back at my dad. I was raised Catholic. My dad was a converted Catholic. Anyway, didn't come through a long line of Catholics. Dad's father converted to Catholicism to marry his mom. So wasn't deep Catholicism. And so I was raised in very shallow Catholicism. We went and we did it all. But there was no, so point I'm making this. really, really, really focused. There was no spiritual legacy in my family. No spiritual legacy. My sister came over yesterday. The oldest of our family is my sister Jane. She came. She's helping us get ready for Thanksgiving yesterday, and we were having some discussions about it and talking about patriarch in our family. We look around in our own family, and what we see, and I'm sure the same thing probably in yours. We see a lot of broken lives, a lot of really broken lives in our loved ones. Can somebody say amen, just so I know I'm not the only one?
Amen, Coach.
Amen, Coach.
I look around us everywhere. Broken lives. Broken lives. And the reason the lives are broken is because at the very middle of the whole thing, there was really, really no strong spiritual foundation. I was raised as a Christian, but I wasn't a Christian. I was raised with a form of godliness. I didn't deny the power. I just didn't know the power. I just didn't know it. Because I went to catechism and was confirmed and did my first communion and got the ashes put on my head on Ash Wednesday. And I did all those things and said my five Our Fathers, my five Hail Marys, and went to the priest.
In darkness.
I was not empowered in any way to win the battle against personal sin and personal temptation. There was no spiritual legacy in my family. My mom tried hard. But I call my mom a spiritual mutt. Maybe that's where I'd get it. She would go to all different churches. I don't know if mom ever belonged to a church. She was just moved around. She did it her whole life. And we'd get up in the morning, and Dad would take the five of us to catechism and Catholic church, and Mom would go. She'd go someplace else. And so we grew up in a divided home. There wasn't any spiritual agreement at all in my home. And we look out over the spectrum of our family. It was only by the grace of God that my brother Joe and me and my sister Jane, three of us are serving the Lord. But see, what three of us are serving the Lord almost by accident. We all found Christ someplace other than where we had been trained to go find Christ. The Christ wasn't there, or at least the powerful Christ that I was supposed to have wasn't there. And so when you graduate from college and you go graduate from high school and you go off to college and you're thrown into that mess, you have no defense. You have no understanding of what you're fighting against. You have no understanding of what the devil's trying to do, or even the devil's even real, or the devil's be not ignorant of his devices. We don't know his devices. We don't really, really understand it. And we graduate from college and we're now more lost than we ever were. And then we get married and we have babies. And then all of a sudden we're 30 years old and our kids are six and we've already lost that foundation right at the beginning. We are in such a mess because of religion, false, untrue things that we've been taught, following of religion and division and no power of Christ. So we're at a crossroads. We have a dilemma. Do I just sit in my house today when everybody comes over here today? Do I just sit in my house and act like everything, I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay? When I could point my finger at each and every one of them and say, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and point at me, and this is wrong, and I made a mistake here, and I made a mistake there. Don't you make that mistake? Should I just sit there and act like everything's okay? Or should I say, hey, listen, man, man, you got some issues you got to deal with. What do I do? What does a Christian do? And how do we take all this? Oh my goodness, the wisdom I have of 67 years of living. By the way, 32 of them now. I lived 35 without Jesus. I've lived 32 with him now. The manifold wisdom of God that has been placed in me.
Dave.
Why don't they want it? Yeah, Rod.
Dave. One reason why they don't want it is how we present it. But I think one thing that has worked for me in my laying that out. Hey, guys, I've been doing this for 59 years. I don't have all the answers, but I got some of them. And then you just got to leave it because you can't jam it, you know. And I think many people will respond to that. Hey, I don't have all the answers, but I've got some. You want to talk?
Mm-hmm.
And if the kids say no, they say no. You can't jam it.
They may not hear it from you, Roger. That's the thing. They may not hear it from you. My nieces and nephews might hear it from me. My own kids probably aren't. And that's sad, isn't it? Why won't they listen to the wisdom of their father? Why do they want to reject it? It's a fascinating thing. Fascinating. I don't know why. To be able to say, listen, I've lived, you know, I'm a lot older than you are. I've been through a lot of it. Let me help you here. They don't want to receive it. I don't know. Because we're all in that mess, aren't we? All of us. And if you're following the Lord and you're following hard after the Lord, I can promise you this. You've probably been ostracized right in your own family. You're probably somewhat of an outcast. If you're following hard after Jesus, you're probably somewhat of an outcast. And why is that?
Amen. Amen, Coach. Hey, if I was smoking it up, drinking it up, partying it up, everybody'd be here. But Ben's ain't coming. That's okay, because I'm not changing for them or nobody else. I'm going to serve the King.
That's Amen. Right. So you know, Alan, one of my brothers, I love to play poker. That's one of my vices. I love to play poker. Always have. My dad taught me how to play poker. Maybe that's why. We played poker at Thanksgiving. We would go to the big family reunions, and that was the highlight of it, the big poker game that was played. I'm not making it up. And I used to sit beside my dad, and I'd watch his cards, and he'd explain to me how to play poker. I'm a great poker player. But I don't get to play poker anymore. Why? They'd just rather not have me there. They want to, you know what I'm saying, right? They don't bring me in. Like Dave, come here. We like his money and we like Dave. Yeah, we'd like to have him. But, they find themselves apologizing all the time when they cuss. And I'm not making it up, right? I'm not making it up. Makes them nervous. I don't want to play some poker. I ain't there to judge him. I just want to play some poker, you know?
Dave, best thing I ever did last vacation was Hold'em night. Everybody played. Everybody loved it. And we smoked cigars. It was wonderful.
You heathens.
But what it has done for my family, it has taken I as the father figure without compromise to a level where others are able to relate to me a little bit more. They're a little more comfortable talking. That's just how my testimony. I'm not saying for everybody, but that's what it's done for my family. And I can remember when I was raising the kids, we'd have a little cigars out in the garage at, you know, 16 or 17, and Christian dads would look at me like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Well, that I believe was the foundation for my boys interacting with me.
It opens the door. Not to engage with them in their sin, but it opens up a door. So what's the conclusion of today's show? Hey, folks, most of you, you're going to be with family members, and they're not going to agree with you. They are not. Is Preacher Dave going to be there? Hey, did anybody like Preacher Dave? See, I never preach at him. That's not the thing. Folks, if you're walking in the Holy Spirit, your life is preaching, right? Your life does preach to them. And so they're convicted. And I don't go there and think I'm better than them. I care about them. I look at what's going on in their lives. I say, oh, my God, let me help you get out of that mess. Let me help you. But see, the enemy's got them, told them a lie. You know, and he's told them a lie that they can never be good enough and all that stuff that he's doing. Yeah, Dave, he's serving. He's righteous now. Dave, he's preacher, man. So we're all faced with that. And I just pray all of you today at your Thanksgiving get together that you explain to your family what it's all about. And it's more than it is Christ, but it's more than Christ. And it's about tradition and why it's important. We all understand our traditions. And we hang on to these traditions. And more importantly, your own testimony. I once was lost, and now I see. I was once lost, now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. If there's anything ever more thing to have Thanksgiving about other than that, I once was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. I'd help you learn. Want to help you learn how to do it too. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for tuning in this morning, and we will see you bright and early Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much, Roger. See you.
See you later.